Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio with Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
We're chatting today about Hillary's email. But we're not going to do the old opinion thing. You know, Hillary's email, what do we all think about it, blah, blah, blah. We have actual experts on today. So we're still missing one of our experts, Bruce Moran. He called me on my cell phone, so I know he didn't forget. We just had a little phone line problem here at the studio. You can find all of their information and the article that we'll be referencing. You can find it online at wethepeopleradio.us. And they are with Security Solutions Technology, which is a veteran-owned company that provides government consulting, IT professional services. These are not email servers set up in your bathroom or your basement.
No, they don't do that. They don't specialize in bathroom servers.
They don't do bathrooms and basements. Let's see. Security assessments, cybersecurity, geospatial program and lifecycle management, change management, logistics, and financial consulting. These guys have worked all over the place, bunches of countries. I won't read you all of it, but it is online for you. Chuck Floyd is the chief executive officer. He's online with us right now. He's got 25 years of experience. I'm going to kind of cut and paste with his resume. He's worked with industry, U.S. Departments of State, Defense, Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, Justice, Veterans Affairs, and U.S. Congress. Let's see, and I had another spot here. Oh, yeah, he also has experience writing legislation and managing government relations programs along with a whole bunch of other stuff. So bottom line is he gets to talk about all the good stuff about Hillary. We'll mostly just listen because all we've learned is from the dopey mainstream media.
Yeah, and how Hillary got around the system. Basically, yeah. That was set up to basically prevent exactly what she did.
Well, their article in Forbes last week is called How to Handcuff a National Security Investigation. That was September 9th in Forbes, and we've posted that for you. So while we're hanging out waiting on Bruce, how's it going, Chuck?
Doing fine. I certainly appreciate you having us on today. We have a lot of information. We did a lot of research for the article. And, we also do a lot of cybersecurity. I work with a company called CrowdStrike, and they have a behavioral kind of analysis for cybersecurity. They're doing the review of the DNC hack, and also they work with the IC community, which is intelligence community. And they have profiles on every hacker in the world. So we have a good access and a good portfolio of who hacks around the world and how they do it, how they get in, and all those sort of things. And so you remember when Hillary Clinton had that big reset button with Russia?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
that was
mistranslated.
She did that, and, you know, they were smiling all the way to the bank because they knew everything that she was going to do and say because they hacked all her emails.
Before she did.
That's true. They had to do quite the acting job to look surprised on that one.
You aren't kidding. I'm telling you what, it's unbelievable. She's been getting away with, because I've been in the military. I'm a retired military, U.S. Army officer. I was at the State Department as a presidential appointee, and I handled all of the embassies worldwide. And so we did all the renovations, the new construction, $50 billion worth of constructions for embassies worldwide. And, you know, that this is just part of the game. And so, you know, we know what's going on with the phones and everything else. And so it's quite revealing what she's been getting away with, because as a military officer, as a member of the State Department itself, and now as a contractor, I am required to keep my top secret clearance up, annual reviews, and I have to go through four different programs, listen to them, look at them, then I have to take a test. I have to pass them in order to maintain my clearance. Everybody has to do that. And so Hillary Clinton is no exception. So she's been, everything from the governor's wife to the president's wife to a senator to, you know, the State Department. And so she's been briefed many, many times. She's seen these forms she's had to sign. And, she, again, at the State Department, she violated every one of them. And people at the State Department, from the White House and different areas, knew exactly what she was doing, because she could not do this in secrecy.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people at the State Department let her do it because they didn't have a choice. I know the CIO and many others at the State Department, you know, they brought all this up and they were told to shut their mouth and be quiet, and if they didn't like it, resign.
Oh, wow. No kidding. So along the way, people were bringing this up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, they brought it up from the time she walked into the State Department and said, I don't want to use the State Department's email system. I'm going to use my own. And everybody goes, what the world are you talking about? And so, again, what's the intent? So I think we all know what the intent is, you know, and has been. You know, she wanted secrecy. She did not want it to be having any FOIA request against her. And if it hadn't been for Judicial Watch and other groups, Citizens United and other groups, you know, doing a FOIA request, asking for these documents, even Congress would have never known, because Congress has been, in my opinion, deficient in oversight of everything that's happened under the Obama administration, from the IRS. You look at, you know, how many email accounts and fake accounts did they have? You look at Hillary and her daughter and Cheryl Mills and all the Uma Hamidi and all these others around Hillary. How many fake accounts and private emails and all this other stuff did they have? Lots of them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been widespread in the White House under this administration and the IGs. And, you know, that's why Obama has not wanted to point all the different IGs throughout all the departments, because he doesn't want the IGs going out and looking for these sort of things.
And how is the Inspector General, how are they appointed? Is it presidential?
The inspector generals work in each department in their own little silo. And so they're not supposed to report anything to the Department of State, DOD, and others. So I've had lots of friends who've been IGs from Department of Defense and many other agencies. And so they are supposed to work independently, and they look at everything from the contracts to the senior leadership and what they're doing and how they're doing it. And if they'd had a comparable, competent IG at DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, the Obamacare contract would never happen. The Obamacare contract, for example, was never put out for bid, was a sole source, under, you know, $5 million kind of contract to go out and start working on this thing. And the company, again, friends of Obama's wife, you know, they spent over $1 billion and never did get it right. And so now, under GSA, they have a new health IT SIN, and a lot of what DHHS are doing will now come to GSA, and it will be, legally and appropriately vetted through contract instead of sole source contracts. And so there's so much corruption in this administration that, why they let Hillary go through it? Everybody knew what kind of emails and what she was doing against the law.
Chuck, in your Forbes article, you talked about the non-disclosure agreement they had to sign.
Yes,
we got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how that basically granted them immunity from oversight.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. That's a great topic.
And I think we can
certainly talk about that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know what that
we're gonna,
is all about.
We're going to burn through 2 hours of people's day here in no time flat. We also are going to introduce our other guest, Bruce Moran, who's also a national security advisor. He focuses on strategic planning for national security issues. And I'll give you a little more on him when we come back, because he's connected now. We will take 2 minutes here. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We do have a live chat up this afternoon here from 12 to 2. You can find that at the website. If you have questions, good way to funnel them in.
Body, then they go.
definitely don't vote for Hillary. This is your theme song. So, you know, we were kind of laughing during the break. Nixon only wishes he had this much play in the line. Good grief. So you're rejoining We the People Radio. You're going to probably want to go to the website, wethepeopleradio.us. It's got all the information about our guests and the article we're discussing called How to Handcuff a National Security Investigation. We have with us Chuck Floyd, Chief Executive Officer of Security Solutions Technology, and also Bruce Moran, National Security Advisor. So we haven't heard from Bruce yet, so we should probably pull his voice in on here. He has in-depth experience in foreign policy, security operations, and high-tech systems. So these guys work on this stuff all the time. He also consults with the U.S. Department of Defense, U.S. Department of State, Department of Commerce, Senate Foreign Relations, House Committee on Foreign Affairs, the Joint Economic Committee, Senate and House Committees on Banking and Finance, Senate Permanent Committee on Investigations, and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. So for everybody who's sitting out there going, she didn't do anything. You guys are just talking crap about her. No, we're gonna let the experts do that for us. So go to the non-disclosure agreement, guys. I don't know which of you wants to do that. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, how are you?
Since you're in different cities and we're all over
topic.
The place.
It has several dimensions to it. How do you think that an FBI agent should sign a non-disclosure agreement? That seems quite odd in and of itself. If you looked at, I'll stay in that realm, but I also want to mention after Benghazi, 40 people were required to sign non-disclosure agreements after Benghazi, so they locked it down. So you have a problem, non-disclosure agreements being required when you sign your federal employment contract. So when they're doing contract negotiations in the United States as well as overseas, or as we're looking at these incidents that happened with Hillary or in Benghazi, they're overused, they're abused, and it's violating people's First Amendment rights. I mean, it's something Congress should take up and fully address. So have you had any experience with that yourself, Aaron?
No, and you know what I'm curious about is when they are requiring them to sign these non-disclosures, is that required, like, you don't work here anymore if you don't sign it?
No, that's to get employment in the first place. That's part of your agreement when signing on to, say, the Commerce Department or DOD or if you're going to Ag or wherever you're at and you're working in certain capacities, they have you sign one on.
So if you were going to, if you're an employee, I mean, all the investigation I did with the VA down in Oakland, we couldn't have gotten to any of that information without whistleblowers inside the agency because you ask the agency questions and they just lie to you. So what happens if these people want to speak up and get the facts out there, but they've signed these agreements? Straight to jail, or what happens to them?
I guess
lose your jobs. It depends upon what the non-disclosure says. You know, for an example, with business, we always do a non-disclosure with other companies so that the proprietary information, other things that we give to them, they can't use, except when we tell them to, that sort of thing. In the government, you know, most employees never sign an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement. And, you know, the ones that they do, they specifically want to ensure that they shut them up, they keep them quiet, and the information doesn't get out. And so, you know, this administration, Obama and especially Clinton and the State Department, where they were not, you know, they wanted to make sure that everybody had a lid on their, on what was going on. They did not speak. And if they did, they threatened them with firing them in their jobs. And so there's no transparency whatsoever under Clinton's time at the State Department.
So signing that NDA, really gives them cover if they do get called to testify before Congress. They can basically deny to, you know, answering any questions because they signed an NDA. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Wow.
Or they can't testify at all. They can't appear before Congress. That's even more damaging.
Jeez, no wonder we don't learn anything.
And that would apply to the FBI as well. I mean, if they come in and start asking questions, they just throw the NDA at them and they go away. That makes it pretty easy.
What I was concerned about here with that is that they were combining classified and non-classified information in the SCIF. And then how are you, when there's non-disclosure, how do you have access to it unless,
right,
you know, there was some kind of no or something that was involved to disclose that? They just had a hearing this week with the House Oversight Committee with Chavez, and they were discussing that. And now they're going to break up the classified and the unclassified information in the SCIF. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. You're not even supposed to put the unclassified information in there. It should have never been there in the first place, but that's what happened. Now,
for all those of us who don't do security speak, what's SCIF?
That's a secure room.
You want to answer
they
that
have
one?
Lid sealed and everything so that nothing can get in. They won't let phones in. There are no communication except secure lines going into a SCIF. And so, you know, a regular person in a regular job never goes into a SCIF. It's all secret, top secret information that is analyzed and handled in a SCIF.
So it's a place. It's a room.
Can I add something on now?
Yeah.
So if information in a SCIF, we'll just say secret, top secret, you know, that type of information is in there. What happens if it gets transmitted over a telephone? That's the question that we raised in this whole article.
Yeah.
Who was the source agency that allowed the transmission to happen? And then how did they receive it? Those are big questions, national security questions. It's pure and simple. Who's the source agency? Department of Defense, CIA, you know, any other agency that was giving Hillary Clinton information, or any one of her aides that was working at the State Department.
So
people
are
not understanding the dynamic we're trying to explain in the article.
Well, if she gets this information...
Most people are thinking of it just as a email transmission. No, it's top secret, special operations type of information. In this one particular instance, they talked about a drone. There's so many ramifications to having a drone information exposed. We can go into a great deal about that. But the most important part I'm trying to convey here to the audience is that when information is exposed, it has access points. You got it through the telephones. You have it through the initial transmission. They can go through the tower and spoof the tower. What that means is an espionage group, a foreign nation state, can come in and intercept the message in a tower. They can intercept it in the phone that's coming out, or it can go into her private server or her phones, or any one of the individuals who has a phone. They can come into the private server and get that top secret information, that secret information, or the special access program information.
And once that happens,
people aren't understanding.
He can't hear.
Yeah, and once that happens, you can't get it back. I mean, it's out there then, correct?
Yes, and then if they get it, they're not going to tell you if they have it. That's the question that wasn't maybe asked in the overall investigation, which was the first line. We put a full-fledged investigation between different departments and agencies giving up the information. And then they're supposed to follow through because it has to be marked a certain way, it has to be categorized a certain way, it has to be put on a paper a certain way, and the transmission has to be secured. And that's all part and parcel. Then the person getting it may not be able to handle it if they don't have the security clearance of what level it's at. And can they talk to somebody about it if they have it? No. Can they handle it? Maybe. So there's different areas of classification that you can have that need to be addressed. And that goes beyond the scope of what people think email transmissions are, and it became, a bad thing, and, you know, they slapped her on the hand. This is the top-notch part of the national security investigation that needs to be done. And who does that? Well, what we talked about, maybe the DOJ could have had expanded the investigation in scope, or DNI could have come in, and that's under James Clapper. And he also, has the authority to do that. Did they do that? From what we're looking at, it hasn't been done. It hasn't been done to look at the source agency, how they gave it out, what classification it was, how it was changed, maybe the classification, and then how it was transmitted. Was it given to them in a physical form? Was it done by phone? If it was done by phone, could it be intercepted? We know it can. And how could it be intercepted, and where did it get intercepted? Was it done here by a foreign country or abroad? See, those are questions that need to be asked. But I'll turn it over to Chuck. But I think I'm conveying the right message here, that it's a pretty big dynamic that needs to be addressed, and those are questions that still need to be asked.
No kidding.
Let me just say a couple words here on that. The State Department, along with DOD and all the other three-letter agencies, they have secure communication links from the satellite systems on through down to the email, to the servers, to the emails, to laptops, and all those sort of things. And so, all that is secure, and it's each node, it's endpoint to endpoint. Everything is secure. Now, what Hillary did is that she took her messages, her emails out of that system, put it on a private server, which was not encrypted. It had no end-to-end point encryption, no cyber protection, nothing. And so she took that information out of the normal classified secure system and put it in her own email server. And so right there, that is against the law. It's against even the presidential executive orders, everything. And, who would believe that anything that a Secretary of State would see would not be classified? Just about everything that a Secretary of State would see is classified. And so, when she goes out there and says, oh, I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't get any classified material, well, excuse me, Secretary of State, worldwide, with cables coming in 24/7 through the Emergency Operations Center there in Roslyn and other places, everything is coming in. All the information is filtered up to her, and most of it is classified.
Sure.
Now, what her aides, Cheryl Mills, Mabedin, and many, many others did is that they got that information because they had security clearances. They got that information, and then they took that information out of the classified system and put it into Hillary's private email system. And so not only Hillary is vulnerable, but all of her aides and others that work with her, they should be subject to investigation, prosecution, and being put in jail.
Before
we do that, we've got to take a quick break. I know we'd like to roll this whole thing with no breaks, but we don't get to do that.
I got questions.
Come on, we're almost 5 minutes late. I know I hate to be the fun killer on this thing, but
There's a lot to this, starting to get the gist of what we're trying to say, so that's great.
I know we have a lot more questions than we have.
Yeah, there's a big mountain
answers.
Here, and we're just on the beginning.
We're gonna get the big shovel out when we come back and try to take a bite out of the mountain. Thanks, guys. We are here with Chuck Floyd, who's a retired Army officer, political appointee at the State Department. Mr. Moran is a senior national security advisor. You're listening to We the People Radio. We hope you'll join us online. Read the article we're referencing, wethepeopleradio.us.
I tell you everything. If you pick up that telephone, hey, how you feeling? Are you still the same? Don't you realize the things we did? Not a dream.
Right there in a nutshell. Oh my gosh. All right, so I don't know which one of you wants to talk about this. When did these NDA agreements, when did this stuff all start? Uh-oh. We have them in the cone of silence. Oh no, they're back.
Say that again, I couldn't hear you.
When did these...
I didn't hear you either.
When did these NDA agreements, when did all this... cloak of secrecy. I mean, I understand if you're working on a project or whatever that you shouldn't be able to run around and tell everybody about it. I understand there would be a time and a place for that. But having people just sign blanket non-disclosures before they go to work in a taxpayer-funded position so that they can never speak up if there's some impropriety, when did that start?
Well, you know, most of it started after Snowden revealed all of what he did.
Okay.
But in certain administration, especially this one, it's been prevalent from the very start because they did not want transparency and everything they've done. You know, look at IRS targeting people. You look at the VA. You know, you look at every agency. You know, they don't want anything to get out that's negative. And so they've done this predominantly throughout every agency.
And was it mostly with this administration?
It was some under the Bush administration, but this administration has taken it to a new level.
Yeah, they took it to the next level. So.
Wow.
So you have a lot more information that can't be disclosed, and it's impinging on the oversight of Congress, and as well as their First Amendment rights under the Constitution, so... You have a question that Congress should answer in of itself. What are these non-disclosure agreements doing in this capacity in the government and taking away people's First Amendment rights?
Sure. And somebody in the chat pointed out that if you did a non-disclosure in a contract of some kind and then committed a crime, you can't evade punishment using an NDA that way, but apparently you can if you work for the government?
I think that's more the Fifth, but Chuck may be able to answer that. I think a non-disclosure is for, when I initially think about them, I mean, you're working in the government capacity with a defense contractor, or you're working for a agency, you know, maybe the CIA or
sure.
NSA, you know, you have FBI, Treasury Department, you know, ATF, DEA. I mean, those are definitely, when you're doing cross-interagency work, you sign them. But to do them in the capacity we're talking about, that seems really NDAs on steroids. That's probably the best way to talk about them.
Let me ask you this. Is Hillary's staff, do they have the same security clearance as she does?
At the time that they were serving in the State Department, they had a security clearance at the top secret level. All of her key staff were cleared at the TS level, probably with an SCI compartmentalized designation.
Okay.
I'm not aware that any of them would have had the higher designation like an IC community. You know, CIA or NSA, those kind of guys would have.
But the same as Hillary.
I would. That's one question I have myself. special access programs are not given to top secret clearance people. So there's a question, that's a pretty big question, because we have our operators overseas with their families or by themselves doing covert operations, or they're doing SOG operations. That was my major concern when I was looking at what we were writing and having disclosure in those areas, which were, you know, very, people can get tortured, killed,
sure,
kidnapped. We're not just talking about an agent or a CIA agent. We're talking about military personnel in Signalia or in Stuttgart that are on these missions, and they go on the missions, and their families may be stationed in Stuttgart. When they're away or when they're even at home, the boy or the girl can get kidnapped and held ransom.
Well, and then you got all your CIs out there.
Very few people in each department have the special access designations. Most, I would say 90, 95% of the people in these different organizations have a top secret only. And so it's very, very select. And at the State Department, I know it is because I was there.
So she would have access to material that maybe her staff would not have access to?
Yes, absolutely.
So if her staff had access to the same emails, then there's a violation there as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I, yes.
Okay.
But we That's what I was trying to convey.
Right, but we can't know if they got them or not because they're not allowed to talk.
That is correct.
That's true.
And then even if Congress does a FOIA or they will subpoena people to come, they don't even show up.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the new one. I'd never heard of that before, but I see that's happening now. It's like, yeah, screw you. We're not coming. And yeah. That blows my mind that they can get away with
so
that.
Hopefully the House Oversight Committee will do something about it and have him arrested. But so we'll see. I mean, that the Congress has been very leery to do anything against President Obama and Hillary and all the rest of them for the entire time that they've been in over the last 8 years. So, you know, I'm not holding my breath as far as what the responsibility
that Congress will do. We're also looking at the Judiciary Committee, looking at the espionage side, which we're talking about the special access program. So that's the Senate side. They're supposed to take a look at this also. I don't know if that's going to be this week or next week, but there was talk that that's happening, and when they're going to convene and get all these different people to testify, that's the critical point.
Well, it's a whole big can of worms when you look at the information she had access to, and then you throw the Clinton Foundation in on top of that. I'm sure they didn't cross any lines there.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. I mean,
it is.
To me, it has so many dimensions, and not even looking at the Clinton Foundation itself, you're talking about huge amount of risk and exposure. When you add that to the mix, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And here's what I'm saying. I'm not being sarcastic in a way. What are you talking about? What I'm trying to convey is what does it mean if people at the Clinton Foundation had access to this information also? We don't know that.
Right.
And how
right.
did they get it? Now, what I was trying to explain earlier in Chuck talks about endpoint being locked down at the State Department. There isn't any endpoint lockdown. That, what we're talking about are cell phones that all these people are using who are contractors for the Clinton Foundation or donors or maybe somebody penetrated through there, infiltrated and got information and caused sabotage. We do not know. And those questions haven't been asked yet. And that is possible an FBI investigation, but just in terms of exposure and risk, that's a critical question that needs to be addressed.
What if on her server, on her personal server, if somebody happened to, say, stick a jump drive in that thing and download a bunch of information, is there any way to trace that to see if that ever happened?
Which one of you did we lose?
Well, this is Chuck. I'm still here. What was that question again?
Is there any way to know if Hillary's private server could have had a jump drive plugged into it and information downloaded? Would there be any trace or way to track it to see if that ever happened?
Sure. Yeah. It is. You can go back in and look at the codes, and you can tell what information was copied, what information was taken, what information was sent. So all that is there.
And they have no evidence that that happened.
Now, that I do not know.
I was going to say,
I have no idea what the FBI has, because, you know, they just haven't released the information. You know, Congress has asked for it, and they served a subpoena on the FBI individual that was testifying in front of Congress because they refused to give them the information.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. We need to take a really quick break. We have Bruce back with us. He got disconnected somehow. One question that's come up in our chat room here is, how does Comey have a 10-year contract and yet be, you know, how is he beholden to the Justice Department? I guess we need more insight from you guys on how those two function. I guess I kind of thought they were independent. Apparently.
Well, I thought the Justice Department was the one who was supposed to make a determination whether or not she could be prosecuted.
That is a very interesting point. So
we
after
need,
your break,
yeah, we need
let's
you guys to figure
certainly.
Figure that out with us. It'll probably go over the top of the hour because that's kind of a big one. We are here
absolutely.
Visiting with Bruce Moran, National Security Advisor, and Chuck Floyd, Chief Executive Officer of Security Solutions Technology. You're listening to We the People. We'll be back in 2 minutes. About lying. So many. Thanks, Bob. Okay, guys. Apparently, we don't understand how the FBI and the Department of Justice work. Because we thought that the FBI was sort of independent, but apparently they're not.
Well, let's make it simple.
Okay.
The Attorney General oversees them, and she can direct where an investigation goes.
And she's appointed by the president.
Yes, she's a cabinet member. Okay, and now we have another dimension to it. Okay, we have DNI. And the different agencies sit under DNI. And who's at a DNI? That's James Clapper. So he has the ability to also, because you got the DEA, you have the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, you have different other investigative agencies, DIA, and all the different things like in the Defense Department, but they're separate, but they can do interagency work. So once Clapper gets involved, Jim Clapper, he was also through the Bush administration through, so he knows the ability of what they can do and cannot do in terms of investigation. So at the beginning of our article, we were talking about what you can and can't do, and was it handcuffed? And yeah, of course. But who has total responsibility? And Jim Clapper could have done a, what we consider an audit. You know, we can say in a simple term, an audit. And then you can go to the different agencies and departments that were collaborating and giving secret, top secret, and special access program to them. But my other point on this, I don't want to detract from what we're talking about, but her personal aides have their own cell phones. And even though they have the clearances inside the State Department and they're talking on phones there, once they're talking on phones and transmitting information between the cell phones they have, they're their personal cell phones, that another way exponentially increases the risk and exposures of all these different avenues to get into state or to the other programs. And now we'll get back to what your initial question was. It was, who can, you know, authorize an investigation? Well, we can see the FBI can. You have oversight, and then oversight can work through the House and then the Senate. These are different ways it can, you know, direct an investigation. Who has the total authority? now we're looking at Loretta Lynch as the, you know, the general. So
but she's the one that determines whether or not there's enough evidence to prosecute. Is that correct?
That's different. That's a different question. Who can do the investigations different.
Right. This is Chuck. Loretta Lynch will decide whether a case goes forward or not, whether it's prosecuted or not. If you go back and look at Holder, how many items did he elect not to prosecute? And so, you know, the FBI, Comey, that these individuals are appointed for a certain length of time so that they should not be influenced by political and other issues. In this particular case, I think he was heavily influenced by political issues, but he came out and did what he could do under the current administration because he knew from Loretta Lynch meeting with Bill Clinton on that airplane mm-hmm. and the pressure that was put on him that he would not get a recommendation. And so who told him, well, I don't recommend? You know, it's not Comey's job to recommend prosecution or not.
That's right. His
job to gather the evidence, submit it to Loretta Lynch, and it's her job to do the recommendation for prosecution.
And that's what I'm getting at right there.
That's right. And so if you go back and look at the strategy and the procedure that the FBI did with Hillary Clinton, it's all very suspect because, one, they never had her under oath. You know, the agent did not ask her a lot of the key questions. And again, if you look at the notes that the FBI provided to Congress and others due to a FOIA request, you can just see blatantly, you know, how the questioning was slanted and really she never really answered a lot of the key questions that Bruce and I have in this article. And so, again, should Comey have been into that interview? Absolutely. Was he in that interview? No, he did not want to get anywhere near that interview for political reasons.
Right.
Nice. Well, that's what we're counting on him for.
You know, that's true.
I mean, taxpayers all across the country are footing the bill on this stuff. And, you know, at the end of the day, everybody who's hired and appointed.
There's so much information that's missing from what we're talking about in this conversation about what has happened, that the American people are totally misinformed about actually the dynamic of national security.
You had mentioned...
That's pretty much a travesty.
Well, you know?
And it's very sad because it's very precious to us that all people who are working in the national security circles are abiding by what they're supposed to do as well as protecting the people who are out there in the field. I mean, you see all these movies and you see all these TV programs, but it doesn't come close to understanding what we're talking about here and what the responsibilities are and accountability and transparency.
You had mentioned
it's a real shame.
In your article, there were some questions that you wanted asked. And when we come back, we're going to take a hard break, but when we come back, let's go through those questions that need to be answered.
We are here with Chuck Lloyd and Bruce Moran. They are talking about national security and the ramifications on Hillary's email thing. This is the stuff you won't hear on the news that you really ought to know. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio for the second hour. If you missed the first one, you should definitely go to the website a little later this afternoon. We'll have a commercial-free archive for you. WePeopleRadio.us.
Double up on your blood pressure medication because this one's going to drive you over the top.
it's kind of one little bad thing there. Bob's playing some fun music for us, though, so about every 15 minutes we'll give you a little blood pressure break there. But, the hits just keep coming. We are here with Chuck Floyd, Chief Executive Officer of Security Solutions Technology, and Bruce Moran, National Security Advisor, who is also part of Security Solutions Technology. These guys have tons of experience in the national security things that would have affected Hillary's email system.
Yeah. This is the real stuff. I mean, this is what the you're not hearing on the press.
This is how it really works.
This is how it's supposed to work. You know, here's the information. Make your own conclusions. Guys, what in that article you had listed out some questions that the American people really didn't get answers to. I'd like you to go through that list. Because I think there were some really good questions, and we do deserve to know what the heck was going on there.
Yeah, this is Chuck. I let Bruce go through the questions, but I'd like to make a comment here. If General Flynn, who's now the retired three-star general from DIA, if I or any other normal civilian or military employee of the government had accomplished and had subverted all these laws and everything else on Hillary's email and what she's done and her staff taking classified information, putting in non-secure emails and sending it. If we had done any of this, we would have been arrested, prosecuted. We'd be in Leavenworth jail, and they would throw away the key. That's how serious this is, and that's what a cover-up that this administration is doing for Hillary Clinton.
Do you think, before we head into the questions, because I know that'll run us to the top of the hour, what do you guys think if Donald Trump is in there? Because I know that, he's made some really strong statements. Obviously, if Hillary's elected, this stuff will just become a non-issue. But if he's elected, can he still do something with all of this?
Yes, he can. I would like, if Trump is elected, and again, I'm not making any secrets about it, I'm a Trump supporter from the very start. I've been helping and Donald Trump from the very start. If he is elected, then our good governor from New Jersey, Chris Christie, hopefully will be the attorney general. And he said it several times, he and also Donald Trump has said it, that they would do an investigation on this properly, and if they find that whoever broke the law and these policies, procedures, executive orders, then they would be prosecuted. So there's no term of that you know Hillary Clinton can get away with this. If Donald Trump's elected, I would assume right now that the new attorney general would do an investigation on this and hold people responsible.
And I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. You know, I think all people want are the same rules to apply to everybody. And when this kind of stuff goes on, people just lose faith in their government. I mean, we live under one set of rules and they live under another. It's going to bring everything crashing down. So I really don't think anybody would have a problem reopening this and doing a real investigation.
The president of Brazil to task right now on that. They've had that problem.
Well, I'm sure
it goes on all around the world, but in terms of how we're dealing with it here, has a different tone because we have, you know, two groups, the Republicans and the Democrats, have always been working in these areas, and there's really been no questioning of this tone, or I can change that word tone to this heavy type of investigative protocol that needs to be done across the board in the executive branch. And that's, I think, what you're saying.
Yes.
How do you go about doing it? Well, there has to be a change in the government, and who's going to be doing it?
In the past, under previous administration that goes back 30, 40, 50 years, you would see Democrats, Republicans working together on espionage and these sort of issues. Now, you do not see that teamwork of the Democrats, Republicans working together, and anything goes with the Democrats anymore, and it's just atrocious.
Yeah, because I can see that if Trump wins and they bring this up again, one, they're doing it because she's a woman. Two, they're doing it because they beat her in the election and it's partisan. I mean, those would be their two classic fallback positions. Not that we care. We still like them to go after him. So, okay, so hit our I didn't mean to derail you here on the old questions, but the first one you listed at the end of the article was Did the private server and personal devices meet the NSA Suite B? And you listed some other things for voice, text, emails, and teleconference. So for people who may or may not be techie, let us know what that means. What is that?
NSA Suite B is an encryption device. Okay, and I'll go to Colin Paul on this because she was trying to say that he recommended her to run her server that way. Well, NSA Suite B encryption didn't come until after he left office. It was the month afterwards. She had 4 years to contact somebody in the intelligence agency or in NSA or at the State Department to find out what kind of encryption she needed for her private server and her phones. She didn't do that. So, you know, if they're trying to drag Colin Powell, the technology wasn't there. The encryption wasn't there. It was 4 years, you know, later. So here's what we're saying. Colin Powell was in office from 2001 to 2005. Hillary Clinton was in office from 2009 to 2013. And when Colin Powell got out of office, NSA Suite B encryption was formally introduced for people to have on their, you know, that's what they were doing in the government. So,
well, if you go back to
what I'm saying,
if you go back to 2001, I know it doesn't seem like that long ago, but
no,
the internet was just
cell phones back then.
No, I mean the internet was just
a whole different state of technology that she had to deal with for being subject to nation state. Okay, we'll call it espionage. Make it simple: espionage, infiltration, and sabotage. And that wasn't addressed. Once she signed on as the Secretary of State and authorized her signature to, you know, follow the, you know, National Security Code, that wasn't done in that capacity. And from what I'm saying here now, it's NSA Suite B she could have had on her server. And what Chuck and I know is the devices, too. So we're talking about all her staff and her and, you know, anybody else they wanted to. Maybe the people that put the server together could have had this encryption, which prevented nation-state players and hackers from coming in.
And we haven't even talked about the company that actually set the server up, which was a private company.
What
that
they're
had...
saying now is that Bill Clinton had hired a company in.
Yeah.
So if he hired a company in under the Clinton Foundation to set up the server,
that
obfuscates her responsibility? No. She has responsibility for the transmission and the information. It's confidential and classified and, you know, top secret and, you know, special access. You can't separate the two.
No.
You know, and the person, from my understanding, that was with the company that they hired, I think it's Data Inc. or something of that nature, he wasn't security cleared either. So we have problems on, you know, many spectrums that needed to be addressed. And how you do it and what you do is you get into greater detail, the question you just asked me. And that's NSA Suite B. And then you can have chips put on your own phone, which we call endpoints. When you're outside, working outside the State Department, when you're inside the State Department, that's secured. But once they go to her house, and once they start working there with her, you know, at the server and, you know, helping her out, that's a whole different scenario. That's not explained to people, and that should be understood. It's okay at the State Department because most of it is secure. Once they're outside on their private phones, then the security risks are exponentially increased.
Sure.
What was the deal with the how many phones and things over the time period?
Well,
she must have had a great plan, you know.
Had, and she had, I think they said she had 7 or 9 or something like that.
No, she had up to 13, and the problem was that they had to keep destroying them for her to get new ones.
You know, if maybe somebody had access to espionage people are really, you know, sharp. They're not dummies.
Oh, no.
They'll go into your garbage can, and they'll do stuff, and they'll get your background information, and they'll, you know, track you.
Unless...
And I didn't even talk about the sandbox, but let Chuck, you know, get involved. Right now, I think he has maybe a different perspective.
What's the sandbox?
Chuck, talk to us about the sandbox.
Yeah, what does that mean? Sounds kind of cool. Uh-oh. Is Chuck in the cone of silence?
He's in the sandbox.
Bruce, you can talk about it. I have an NDA.
What happens is
They have an NDA.
Okay.
Well, classic.
What do people do in the sandbox?
Breaking news.
They play, right?
Oh, kids sure.
Oh, okay.
So if you have a nation-state player breaking into a server, okay, they're captured in the sandbox, and they're allowed to go anywhere through. So you're monitoring their activity and where they're at, what they're doing, how they're doing it. So it's their ability to infiltrate your capturing it on your computer and how they're going to get into your computer. You create a sandbox for them, but they're not really in your whole computer system. You created a place for them to play so you can find out what they're doing. Then you trace it back to all the different servers they're using around the world. And how, you know, goes back, maybe it might go to England, and then it goes to Libya, and then it goes to Italy, then it goes to Ukraine, then it goes to Russia. So you can trace it back. You know, you see that on TV, but this is what goes on in the sandbox. So you trace it back to the source, and then you deal with it. And then you call authorities, and, you know, then you have them arrested.
So
that's what hackers do, but that's what nation-state players do. But the nation-state players are more sophisticated because they can do the reverse reciprocal relationship. What that means is they could have put a sandbox in there for Hillary to play in, and she could have been giving them all the information that they know she knows how to do. Then they could have come through the sandbox they created and accessed information on her server, gone
right
through other areas in the government, interagency.
So this stuff really is child's play at the end of it, at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, but it's encryption. It's highly sophisticated, and the NSA has to deal with the quantum part of it now. That's the new area that people...
Interesting.
You know, we know NSA may have a back door to get into their encryption,
right,
and that might be through covert operations or whatever it may be. But however it's set up, once you enter the quantum side of the encryption, it becomes even exponentially more vulnerable. So if, say, a nation state of Russia or China was using a quantum encryption device, we don't know what went on. We don't know what capacity they're working at.
Lovely.
They have whole buildings in Russia and China built just...
Yeah,
they have,
you know,
all these people
go look at
to break
what's
into
happened
system
out in California with the attack out there. And then Apple came out and said, we're not going to help the government break our system.
Right.
And so what did the government do? They went to the Israelis and got the information because they broke it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind
so
of
how
reassuring.
How secure is it?
We need to take a really quick break.
I hope I'm not getting too technical.
No.
I'm trying to explain things.
Oh, no.
No, we like it.
But it's not so simple sometimes.
No, I heard a long time ago that every time she stepped off an airplane in a foreign country with a cell phone, it was tapped the minute she opened
exactly
the door.
Right.
And
that's why they turn them off.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a secret. The State Department does not use any encryption on any mobile phone that they have. I've been trying to get them to go with an encryption technology for probably 5 years. And every time I meet with the CEO, CIO, and others at the State Department, they would say, oh, well, the head shed, which means the secretary and others in charge, they don't want encryption on their mobile phones.
Why?
Who knows? I mean, it's ridiculous. When we have
that's
the
just
technology
moronic
to put encryption on every mobile phone the State Department and others have, and they don't want it.
Amazing. Let's take a break. And then...
Yeah, we will need a break to absorb that one. That's just ridiculous. That kind of just makes me mad. Oh, you're listening to We the People. Darn it. You have 40 minutes more to control yourself until you can fly into a rage. Your rage will come at 2 o'clock. Hang in there until then. You can find everything online in case you're not angry enough. You want to read the whole article. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Be right back.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Subtle, Bob. Very low key. You almost not know it was a song about lies again. oh my gosh, we're going to have to go lightning round, you guys. Shoot. So what's the next question on our list here? Were your private server and personal devices set up? No. We know that's a big no. I cannot believe that they don't encrypt their devices. That just blows my mind. Third thing you had on here is, were your private server and personal devices set up to withstand any unwanted attacks? So how do they explain that? They're the State Department, and they're all scurrying around with phones that can be hacked wantonly. It's got their email and everything on there. What's their excuse? Like, Chuck, when you meet with them, what do they say?
They're just not. They haven't been interested in the past to encrypt their mobile phones for some reason. And if you look at the transcripts from the FBI notes and many other things that have been said, even Hillary's aides had suggested to her to leave her phones on the plane whenever she landed in certain countries, because we know whenever a diplomat, DOD, and other individuals go into these countries, they are monitored, they are tracked, they are hacked. And so, you know, our NSA, we do the same thing to all their diplomats and others that enter our country. And so, you know, it's nothing unusual. It's just, you know, normal business for nation states to track and monitor what is going on in their own country. And so the State Department knows it. Hillary knew it. All of her aides knew it. And again, you know, she kept using her private emails and her phones, giving out classified information, non-classified information. They would know her schedules. They would know her yoga schedules and everything else about Chelsea's wedding. And so, I mean, everything was public to them. They just, you know, kept laughing. And, you know, they go, well, you know, the U.S. is, you know, their procedures and everything are downgraded, and we can hack anything we want because it's so easy, because she wasn't using the correct systems.
Well, if you're a security guy on that detail, how the heck do you do your job when they're literally broadcasting everything that they're doing?
Well, if you go back and look at the Secret Service dealing with Hillary Clinton in the White House as a senator and now as a Secretary of State, you know, nobody crossed her. Nobody corrected her. They would make suggestions to her staff and others, but they didn't want to deal with her direct because she would cut their heads off. I mean, she was just vicious from dealing with the Secret Service from the White House to the State Department. And, you know, they just said, hey, you know, I'm informing your aides. You know, I've done my job. She'll have to do what she wants to do.
Another point you brought up in the article was the fact that she didn't take time to secure her server with any kind of hacking software, but they did take the time to install fairly sophisticated deletion software to get rid of emails.
Oh, the bleach bit, yes.
Yeah, now, I mean, that kind of tells the whole story right there. What would be so important that she would want to make sure everything got deleted, but she didn't care if they hacked it?
Well, you know, the company that set this up for her, when they testified, you know, they took the fifth a lot, but in previous statements they said, if we knew that she was doing classified information on the system we set up, we would never set the system up. That's how concerned they were. And again, due to NDAs, their lawyer's advice, they said nothing in front of Congress except I plead the fifth. And, you know, it all goes back to intent. What was her intention? Did she want to make sure that classified information was deleted? No. Did she want to make sure her yoga classes were deleted? No. Did she want to make sure that the Clinton Foundation and the laundering of money was deleted? Yes.
Right. But the whole intent defense, that's not really a defense, though, is it? I mean, just because she didn't intend to hack
it. We're looking at negligence and gross negligence.
Right.
That's what I think the words are.
Sure.
So I think that more, you know, coins what
She was responsible as a Secretary of State to securing her servers and devices. So she was negligent in doing that. And to what degree, you know, you go into gross negligence. And that's when you get into the move from civil to criminal and start addressing, well, what does that really mean? And what was exposed and why didn't she do it in the first place? You know, that's the kind of questions that need to be answered. And if you go down the list there, it talks about all the various ways the system, the private server that was not secure, can be exposed. It's phenomenal that there's so many different ways that it could have been hacked or by a nation state come in and have access to that kind of information and to go through her own server back to where she's communicating and pretending they're her.
So
that's
the,
what I'm saying. If you ever go online and order something, you'll see that they'll offer you three or more products. Somebody like this one, or you buy a book and say other people like these three books.
Sure.
Well, that's what the sandbox does, but it only does it for espionage purposes. It tells you what they're doing, how they're doing, what their likes and preferences are. So when they're coming in as you on your server, and they can pretend they're you, and then go through the system. That's the scary part.
Hmm. So wouldn't there be a record in her server if it was hacked? Wouldn't there be some footprints or something?
Well, we don't know. That's the question. If they're using quantum, that's the new technology, you know, quantum encryption. And even the encryption, once you're inside, how do they access the information inside the State Department and go to, say, the Defense Department or the CIA or the DEA? You know, maybe they're running drugs and they want to know what's going on. You know, there's some stuff going down through Afghanistan to Europe. It's, you know, billion-dollar deals they're doing over the years. So they want to make sure that route's protected. So they go in there and find out what's going on. So there's a lot of different ways to look at
with
this.
With the right software like CrowdStrike has, go in there and we can tell who hacked it, where they were, because there are certain models and certain items that you look for. And we can tell whether she was hacked or not. But again, you got to get access to the server.
FBI,
and who has the server? Was it destroyed? You know, who has it?
We're partners with them. Can I talk, Chuck?
Go on.
Yeah, we're partners with them, and they're you know, they know the various angles of attack. So, and how does they were hired by the DNC to come in after they were hacked? CrowdStrike was hired to come in and work for the DNC to find out what happened, to what extent it happened. So they're under non-disclosure agreements because they can't talk about it. But, you know, I mean, that's the kind of things you look at. And
sure.
What extent, who did it, when it was done. Was it done in the States? Was it done abroad? How many countries? And who's sharing the information? Who's being exposed? I mean, these are all different kinds of questions you can ask that need to be addressed. And when I initially talked about it, I was saying maybe Clapper could have done it, or Loretta Lynch as the, you know, head of the Justice Department. You know, there's different ways of going about it. It's just the dynamic is for exposure to our people in service and anywhere in those covert operations is huge. And I can't emphasize that more. Chuck, do you want to weigh in on that, or?
No, I think we've said enough on that. We can go to another question if you'd like.
Tell me this. We have somebody on the chat room here who wants to know about the company that set this server up.
Mm-hmm.
We know Bill Clinton hired him, but was it like a relative or was this?
Oh.
And who paid for it? Did the taxpayers pay for it, I'm assuming?
Bill Clinton, it was Plant River
Foundation
that did it.
Wait, say that one more time?
It was Plant River, the company, that's the company that set it up. And so the Clinton Foundation hired him first, and I would assume that they were hired privately by Hillary Clinton or the foundation to set her server up.
Uh-huh.
I am not aware that the State Department paid them money to set her server up, because if they had, again, that would be another violation that she could be prosecuted for. But I do not think, from everything I have seen, that they were paid by the government.
Okay. Well, with the amount of money the Clinton Foundation's been getting, I suppose they weren't actually hurting for funds to funnel. We need to take a really quick break here again and give you guys a moment to think about what it is we want to talk about next.
There's quite a few bits of information there, so help yourself.
I was going to say, we could just go anywhere with this. Anyway, you can find...
Maybe a caller has a question?
Exactly. We will we'll come back with that.
Sure.
You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Bruce Moran and Chuck Floyd.
If you feel the need, just click on me at www.memory.
There's a million of them out there.
There are a million of them. Tell you what, if we don't have a little laugh break, we'll all go berserk. You guys have probably already gone berserk, so you got it out of your system a little bit.
We work out regularly.
Yeah, we're just learning the berserk. Okay.
I was going to join that club. They offered a membership. Come out there with you folks. Out ready.
I wouldn't do it today. We're orbiting 2 miles from the sun, so it's over 100 again.
Oh, geez Louise.
Yeah, I know. It's wrong. It's wrong at every level. Okay, so what have we missed besides the intent thing? Can we talk about that a little bit? Are you guys prepared to talk about why?
That shouldn't why even she, entered into it.
Why she gets away with this whole thing because she didn't intend to break the law? When did that start to become something? I mean, can we use that on speeding tickets?
That issue is brand new. In the past with prior FBI, DOJ, and other kind of officials, intent was never there. If you look at what Rudy Giuliani said recently on Hannity, Fox News, many other stations, he goes, well, if you look at intent, you look at smashing devices, you look at, I want to set my own server up so I don't have to go through FOIA and other things. All that's intent. He said there are tons of intent there, but again, under this administration, they would not consider any of that legitimate intent, and so it's all political. They don't want to go after them.
Yeah, we've basically been flying for the last 8 years without a DOJ. I mean, it just seems like they make the rules up as they go along to whatever suits their needs at the time. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I would love to have them go back if we get a new administration and take another look at some of these high crimes that have been committed that just went unpunished, basically. Mm-hmm. So
there was a book written, Hillary's Pursuit of Power. It's an authorized version before she ran the first time. It's by Jerry Ziffman at Zeifman. It's in 2006. It really talks about what we are trying to address here in 5 minutes, but it's a book, and it goes into great detail about those kind of things that people do when they're rising to power in politics that give them that idea that they can do those things that they do. Sounds like a song, do those things that they do. But,
yeah, they can get away with it because they have enough clout.
It's a different reality when you're in D.C. There's a lot of money and power and influence, and that's what you're always looking at and subject to, and that's who you're dealing with. And when we're talking about the average person has no idea what's going on in terms of that. I mean, how things are being wielded around internationally. See, I'm not talking about just in policy and just in, you know, what we're doing day to day. We're talking about a larger dynamic and what actually goes on in people's lives in Washington and how they're separate and distinct from the average person wielding a lot of power and influence.
What is this this email? Actually, I guess I want to ask you a question before that. Do you guys think that she knew she'd get caught? I mean, the installation of the bleach bit thing sort of tells you that they had an inkling it may come out, but did they honestly think they were going to get away with it?
The Clintons think they can get away with anything.
Yeah.
And did she think she could get away with it? Absolutely. And, they have, again, that's one reason why she did it. And then the other thing is if you just look at who knew, because any government email has a .gov on the end. She did not use a .gov, she used a .com. And so everybody knew that she was not on the government email. My State Department email used to be my name at state.gov, my name at DOD, my name at DODemails.gov.
Sure.
So it everybody knew it.
Well, if I email somebody outside of the .gov system, it marks those emails as external. I mean, it doesn't matter who I send it to, it marks them as external. So it knows that it's going outside the system.
Mm-hmm.
None of that's, I mean, I don't know, anybody in the most, like the lowest position ever knows that if you use your private email for government business, that opens up the entirety of your personal email system to potential scrutiny by the government. The whole thing.
Yeah, when you're employed by the government, you're told do not use your private email. Hillary Clinton even sent a message to all of the State Department telling them not to do it, and they prosecuted people for doing exactly what she did.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's only for some people. It's across the board.
Right. She knew she could do it legitimately, too. That's what fries me in a way where she could have had encryption on her private phones, and why didn't she do it for her staff? And I mean, that would have covered her in some way, but she didn't do that either.
No, there was just no effort.
Now, remember what I said earlier about nation-state players coming in? I didn't even talk about them coming through the HVAC system. They can come through your printer or your heating and air conditioning unit system to get into your computer.
They can?
Yeah. You have anything wireless?
True.
Yeah. This is how the business is done these days.
That's why I always wonder, you see these advertisements for in-home security, and you can watch your house from your phone, and I'm thinking...
And they put the camera in there, and they can
so
watch
can
you, too.
And so can everybody else.
Everybody else can watch your house, too.
Yeah. So James called me, was just on, and he says he has his own computer where you have the camera on, like I do. It's covered up.
Yeah, I have a nice little shamrock right over my camera right now.
Yeah.
That's what those stickers are for.
It's kind of mind-boggling that technology is a blessing and it's also a curse. And we're looking at it for national security reasons. Boy, do you need to cover your buttski on that, because there's too many variables that can happen.
Well, it's a little bit like having sharp knives.
You know, we're talking about that in the article, and it's just mind-boggling. It goes beyond the scope of what people normally do. That's why we probably wouldn't have wrote the article unless there was this serious nature about it, you know.
Well, and there's just, you know, I have to tell you, people are sick and tired of being treated like they're five with the mainstream media, you know, in pretty much en masse, blowing this thing off. You know, oh, she had a C next to it, and, well, you know, you could have missed that. And they make it all sound like it's, you know, your mom using AOL, you know.
That's right, exactly right, just using regular emails, and it's not the case.
Yeah, and for the people who don't know, well, you look at the younger group. I mean, those of us who are old enough to remember, you know, doing computer programming on Fortran cards.
Right.
We just lost, you know, a huge percentage of the audience.
When IBM 360s
and running those things.
What? Yeah, and you had one computer at the college that took up an entire building.
Yeah.
And you had like four terminals at the library you had to sleep outside the door and wait for. You know,
you bring the cards in, and cards would run them onto the tape.
Yep.
Those big tapes.
Yep, and your cards would fall down on your way to your exam. And
carrying around.
Oh man,
it's good to lift weights with. You know, if you can't make it to the gym, just do some work in the computer room.
But we remember. I mean, we remember how this stuff was set up. We know we get the jokes about the ones and the zeros, but the kids who have grown up in this technology, they don't really understand how a lot of that works. And the vulnerabilities, well, just, I mean, they post every activity they've ever done online.
Yeah, that's,
which
that's a real shame.
It's totally crazy. We need to take one last quick break. We're going to come back and finish up the top of the hour with Chuck Floyd and Bruce Moran. And these guys do a lot of different things, but they come together on security solutions technology, and their website is listed on ours. I think you'll find it an interesting read. We are at wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
Oh, that's terrible. My skin got so thin, you can see right through it. And I stuttered, well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's my story.
That's my story.
Whoa, that's my story.
That's my story.
Yeah, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Nice one. Well, I come from a large family, and we've never seen anybody fall down that didn't make us laugh. We were really bad at that, so we liked that other song. We thought that was funny, Bob. All right, fellas, what did we miss?
This is Chuck. I'd just like to say that we haven't seen all the emails drop against Hillary yet. You look at just what dropped against Colin Powell, you know, the things that he says in private versus what he says in public. WikiLeaks, and again, people who contributed WikiLeaks for the DNC and a lot of different things, but they haven't dropped everything on Hillary. You're going to see massive amount of information that she's going to try to explain away. The media will help her try to explain it away, but it's going to be very, very damaging in the next 30 days.
Oh, I've said that all along. I mean, you want to talk about an October surprise? It's going to be huge. You know they hacked her.
So we're going to read the yoga routines?
Well, we're going to find out for sure that she was hacked. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
it's going to come out that she was very negligent.
Do you guys think that with all this, you know, with all this stuff swirling around, do you think the public has become, bored of it, or I don't know, out of the loop. Do people still care when the emails get released?
Well, it depends. The media keeping it as just emails. And it doesn't talk about the exposure national security-wise. So
right.
What are they going to believe? You know, that's the harder part of the explanation. Most people don't go into a depth of seeing what actually happened. That's why we actually wrote the article, to give a detailed explanation. There are certain laws that, you know, needed to be addressed and broken, and there's acts, you know, that go all the way back, you know, espionage and hiss and different things of that nature. And then we also have the executive orders the president issued, Obama issued, that should have been followed. So there are a whole host of things within the executive orders that there are not things she needs to do if she went off the reservation and didn't classify the information. That should have been reported in and of itself. So how do you tell people all these different dimensions that are going on simultaneously when they're busy doing their lives, you know, getting their lattes at Starbucks, and they're really not. Their technology is their apps. You know, we're talking about the applications of the apps, how far it goes, to what degree, who's doing what, when it's. They don't think about that.
No, I think cybersecurity is, you know, they think if they've got, you know, Norton antivirus, they're all good.
Oh yeah, and Symantec and, you know,
those, yeah, whatever they've got. You know?
And that's all. This is the dynamic of us worried about our First Amendment rights and everything, and how you're being protected, and you know what you
but,
should
you know,
be doing.
But
you
know, one of the things that we're trying to do is get the information out.
You
know, it's programs like yours that we can get the information out, because again, ABC, the NBC,
can't hear each other.
You got
they do not
there.
Wait, hold on.
Want
some
to
of those people I know. And that's why I wrote it, because I knew people that are SOG groups or Navy SEALs, and this is damning
that is,
to them. I mean, to be exposed that way.
Sure. And Chuck, I'm sorry, you were trying to say, I know when you guys are both on the phone, it's hard to hear each other.
I couldn't hear Bruce. Sorry about that. What I was saying,
it's our encrypted phones.
You know, this is why we are going to radio stations like yourself and others to get the message out, because the NBCs, the CBSs, they won't report it. Even though it's out in the news, they don't put it on their news. And if they have it, they'll say, oh, Hillary Clinton had another email dump. 5 seconds. Boom. It's over. You know, so they don't get the truth out of it. They don't make the audiences that watch their TV or radio or listen to their radio stations aware of what's really happening. And so it's kind of disingenuous with the media.
Well, what do you guys think about the Snowden and the WikiLeaks and that type of thing, leaking things back in? I mean, without them, we wouldn't know a lot of this.
I think there's a lot of it we shouldn't know, but it's gonna happen. I mean, as long as we don't have, you know, something as simple as encrypted phones for government,
for the
people,
State Department.
Yeah,
good
I mean,
God.
This is going to continue to happen.
What do you guys think of those guys, though? Just the idea that they've got all this stuff and can feed it back through the system.
Well, I would try to get it back. But now we think the Russians have it in hand with Snowden staying there. So what can you...
Sure. So Donald Trump's comment off the cuff, you know, when he said maybe we need to get our emails from the Russians. I mean...
Yeah, that is, that's
they're
true.
Coming back, but in bits and pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who was paying attention knew that was kind of a tongue-in-cheek comment, but then these other guys ran
that's
with
right,
it and
right.
said, oh, they're telling the Russians to hack her. It's like, you idiot,
yep.
They already did it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, with the new movie Snowden out...
Came in, they had breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
A lot of people are...
Walking around. That Lucifer, the one they caught, and he said he was just eating lunch and going to her server. Eating lunch.
Nice.
He'd do it, like, and I don't know if people got that. He would come in when he had a break and then go into her server and look at it. That's what he said. So, I mean, people should look at that as holy,
yeah.
You know, guacamole, what's going on here?
Yeah, right. How can that be a good idea? Sorry, Chuck, we cut you off. Say what you're saying.
You know, the new movie Snowden just came out, and so, you know, members of Congress and many other people are saying, well, what's noting a patriot or is he a criminal? And so people have to decide, again, if you release classified information, it's against the law and it's criminal. What he did, you know, it was a huge benefit for a lot of people, but he did put a lot of people at risk.
Oh, sure.
The military in different places. So, again, you know, it has its pluses and minuses, and again, every state does this. Every state, national state does it. We do it. Everybody does it. It's been going on for years.
It's just not how we're supposed to be running the big candy store, though.
Hey, we're out of time.
The craziness.
That's true.
Hey, thanks a lot, you guys. We'd love to have you on again. So much information.
Oh, I think between now and the November elections, we'd love to have you back on and do a little wrap and... And an update on the new emails that are soon to come out.
Well, you guys work on all sorts of interesting stuff, and we've got a lot of time, you know, so we get the whole story out. Thanks very much for coming on with us. And for
You're
folks
welcome, and
that
thank
have...
Thank you for going into detail. I think it helps...
I think it does, too.
...understand the dynamic we're trying to convey. It's just enormous.
We've got the commercial-free archive will be up this afternoon pretty shortly. So if you guys want to send this to friends or use it, do whatever you want with it. It's there for your use. You've been listening to We the People. We'll be back with you next week. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.